Well, to say it's good to be home would be an understatement, but that's the only thing I'm able to say. This will be a little unusual service today, but it'll be biblical. The first thing I want to do is make an announcement. And I've said this several times, it's amazing how that God has continued to bless, but it's said about Abel in the Bible, he being dead yet speaketh. I've said that a lot about Laura Ewing. She's still speaking a lot of different ways. And she herself, as you know, left a very large amount of money to the church in her will because she loved the church so much. And people love her so much. They've done a lot of money given in her name since then by her fellow workers and people like that. And Sister Lee and Brother Jeff have just given a very large donation to the church in honor of Laura. And so I just want to publicly thank God for that and thank them for it. I'm probably going to write a letter about that and tell what I think about that to everybody in the church to kind of tell what my heart. But I just want to pray the Lord for that. I want to make that announcement to you. Before I get to the main subject today, I want to talk to you about a little bit about some work that's going on we need to be praying about. It's very interesting how God's working. I just got back, of course, from India. And then right before I got back from India, Brother Fulmer and Philip Green and Chris Fulmer got back from the Philippines, had a really good time of evangelization in the Philippines. And right now, Jeff Harris and three other men are in Malawi. And they're building some church buildings, had kind of a hard time. They took some power tools over there, but they wouldn't work over there. They had to do it by hand, had a lot of bad weather. But anyway, they're over there. And we want to pray for the brethren in Kenya. There are a lot of violence in Kenya, and I think we lost one brother there by to a mob. I don't know all the details yet. Jamie Tucker said something about that. We need to be praying for the brethren in Kenya. We had some men, Mike Ivey, and I think Tim McCool were going to go to Kenya. They had to cancel their trip because of the violence that are there. And right now, Brother Gunnar, it's amazing how God works. It kind of really touches my heart, but Jamie Tucker and Joe Wile are in Cambodia. And right before I left for India, Jamie emailed me and he said, "Brother Zach, I wish you'd, on the end of your trip to India, come to Cambodia and help us because we're going to try to start an orphanage here." And he thought I knew something about orphanages. Well, for two reasons, I didn't do it. One of them, I didn't want to because I want to come home. And number two, I didn't know anything about orphanages anyway, so I said, "You ought to get a hold of Brother Gunnell." So he called Gunnell, and old Gunnell was really proactive, and he immediately took him up on it. And it's amazing how they do things now. He could even get a visa through email. He could even email his photograph in and got a tourist visa to Cambodia. So right now, somebody, the Indian brother and the American brother are working together in Cambodia. So let me read you two emails briefly here before I get started into what I want to really talk about. This is Brother Gunnar. This is from Cambodia. He left one day before we did. We left to come home on the 30th, and he left on the 29th. We saw him off at the hotel. We didn't go to the airport with him, but we saw him off the hotel. "Dear Brother Zach and Brother Herb and Brother Tim, warm greetings to you all and your families in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hope you had a safe return journey and reached home safely. Have you recovered from your jet lag?" L-A-C-K. "No doubt you would have been physically very tired. Hope you had a good rest and resume your routine. First of all, I want to express my hearty thanks to you all for your wonderful trip to India, ministering his word among us. As usual, we were all blessed richly from the teachings you have brought in the minister's conference. And the Lord used you almighty on all the services. I too reached Cambodia safely on the 29th morning. Elder Jamie and Elder Joseph have arrived on that night. We're staying at a hotel and visiting different places and share the word of God by informal meetings. Today we have started an orphanage with 10 children in a town named Tong, T-O-N-G. God willing, we may baptize some people on the 4th afternoon. There's an effectual opening for the gospel in this country. You will hear from Elder Jamie about the detailed report on this trip. This is a beautiful country. The food is very good. In fact, he has worried about that. In fact, it's kind of amusing. He asked me for some, I had some Pepto-Bismol, which I always take with me on one of these trips. And he called them stomach tablets. And so he said, "Brother Zach, could you share some of your stomach tablets with me before I go to Cambodia?" But anyway, the food must have been good. He said that the food is very good. The climate is just like India. The cost of living is lower than India. The hotel where we're staying is just $13 per day for two persons. But this hotel is much better than Mount Hero. Mount Hero is where we always stay. And he said, "Better. So it must be pretty nice. Because Mount Hero is not just really a flop house. It's not nice, but it's not what you call a nice hotel, but it's still not a flop house, though. The total population of this country is only 13 million. The major religion is Buddhism. Thanks a lot for everything you've done to me and the Lord's work in India." And then I got one from Jamie Tucker. This is from Siem Reap, the city that they flew into in Cambodia. This is on the 29th also. Good morning. We are thankful to hear of the good reports in Africa and India. Praise the Lord. The brethren from Cambodia met us at the airport last evening along with Brother Gunnar. We're thankful to have Gunnar with us, and we consider opening an orphanage because of his administration skills and experience. Take his need to pray that God will guide and lead us, and he will enable us to share the truth of grace to his people. The brethren in Thailand want us to preach to them Sunday, so maybe they'll even go to Thailand. So please ask God to lead us to where he wants us to minister. Brother Zach read a book and now made his journey into the country of Korea. On the flight from Atlanta to Korea, I shared the book with a Presbyterian man from Korea who wanted to study immersion at the correct mode in more detail. God bless Jamie. So it's amazing what God is doing. Before I try to preach, Richard, pray for us. I want God to redirect my mind today. I got so much on my mind that it could just kind of lock all together, and I don't want it to happen. So pray for us, if you will. Let me bring you the mic back there where people are here. First trip back in the year 2000, I considered it kind of a duty to take real good notes to keep for real good journals. So I've got good journals. I hadn't always got them all typed up like I intend to do. But what I'm going to do today is just give an abbreviated talk about the trip. And I've got about 160 some odd pages in the journal. And I'm not even through completely with this abbreviated form. I have kind of an intermediate form, but I'll never will do the whole thing probably because a lot of these are sermon notes. We took real good notes on the sermons. I wanted to get almost every word that what Herb and Tim preached, and then Timothy took good notes on what I preached. And because I wanted the people back home to what we're preaching over there. So if anybody wants that, I can also type that up some of these days. So y'all pray for me. I want to just kind of share a little bit about what, and hear what we're doing. If you get your Bible, you might follow me because I'm going to go to the scriptures quite often. And I do thank you for praying for us very much. I know you prayed for us. People were praying for me. I know they were, all of us. I know the men here were fasting and praying. And some men had a day. I think I gone 17 days. And 17 men were praying and fasting one day at a time. And I had a card in my pocket with their name on there. And I was praying for them while they're praying for us. But I was really thankful so much. And I know other people were praying also. But the Lord answered prayer. But here's what I want to do today. I want to do what Paul did in Acts chapter 13. Here's what happened. When Paul went to preach on his evangelistic journeys, this is the way it happened in Acts chapter 13, verse 3 and 4. This is when they met. Some of the leaders of the church had met, and the Lord spoke to them. God's speaking to us today. That's one thing Timothy made plain in one of his sermons on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't live in the church on the day of Pentecost, and it never has left. He has never left the church of Jesus Christ. We don't need another Pentecost. We had our Pentecost, and the Holy Ghost is still with his church, and we need to realize that. So anyway, the Holy Spirit is speaking to these men, and I want him to speak to Greg Chapel. He does speak to us. I like for him to be more sensitive to what he's saying to us. This is Acts chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth of the Holy Ghost, departed into Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. That was the beginning of Paul's journeys. I'm going to make a point, a technical point, that's a Holy Spirit technical point. And one of our members here will know what I'm getting at. One of our members one time talked to me about this and called me to do some more study. And I'm glad it happened. And I don't ever mind people talking to me about the Word of God. Because we old Baptists don't believe in mission boards. And we're right about that because we're biblical. We believe the Holy Spirit sends preachers out. And then the church supports them as they go out. Obviously, they got to be together on the same page that wouldn't get along very well, but we believe that the Lord directs our ministers to where they go, and we don't believe men tell them where to go, but then we believe the church backs them up when they do go. So this is amazing what the Lord did in the Greek here. That first send there, when the people sent them out, see, the church and the Holy Spirit both sent them out, but it's a different kind of sending. When they had fasted and prayed, they sent them away. That word sent there is apoluo in the Greek. It means just to release, let go, or dismiss. They just released them. So let them go. That's what you did for me. You said, Brother Zach, go. Godspeed. We're releasing you. We're dismissing you. We're letting you go. The second sin is ekpimpo. It means send away or send forth. The Holy Ghost sent them. It's a two different Greek words. The Lord doesn't do things by accident. We believe every word of the Bible inspired. So the church sent them away in the sense they let them go. And then the Holy Ghost is the one who really sent them. That's not a picky point. That's a Holy Ghost point right there. Now, what I want to thank you for, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I hope I don't get emotional today. I sometimes choke up so much I can't get my message out. I don't really want to do that, but I do feel emotion in my heart I can't thank God enough for letting me be at a church like Grace Chapel that's been so cooperative in the spreading of the gospel of Christ. You had a real part in this, and I feel exactly like Paul did in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. You've heard me quote this lots of times, but I'm going to do it again. Paul loved the church at Philippi. They were behind him as he preached the gospel of Christ. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He's talking about the whole church there, men and women both. He said, that fellowship means it's koinonia. You've heard that before. I know it's a very familiar Greek word. It means communion or joint participation. It's a rich word indeed. And what Paul meant there, and what I mean is, you have a fellowship in the gospel, both financially and also by prayer and support and encouragement. And I couldn't have done it without you. And we're kind of, God sent me there, but he used you as a kind of like Noah. When he went to San Diego this last week, I got to see an aircraft carrier. And Brother Bobby Paul made the point one time, an aircraft carrier, even a great big one, doesn't have probably less than 100 planes, but they got 2,000 men on those carriers. But everybody's necessary to get the job done, the pilot through the flying. So the preacher may do the preaching, but the whole church is behind the effort when men go and preach. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your cooperation in the spread of the gospel. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. May God bless you. May God bless you. I know God is pleased because he even said about such things in the Philippians chapter 4, with such sacrifice God is well pleased. So I want to thank you. So here's what I'm doing today. This is biblical what I'm doing. I'm doing what Paul did in Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. That's what I'm doing today. This is a biblical church service. I may not be preaching a conventional sermon. It's a biblical church service to hear what Paul did. And they came back to Antioch. That's where he left from in the 13th chapter. And so then when he came back after he had been preaching, this is what he said in Acts chapter 4. The Bible said in Acts chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. 14, 26 through 28. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. I love that expression. That's what you did at Grace Chapel. You recommended me to the grace of God. Lord, go with you, Brother Zach, as you go and try to preach. I know you meant it. And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And whenever come and had gathered the church together like we are here today, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And God opened up doors to the Gentiles, people who have been in heathendom. Now, here's the five prayer requests I ask you to do. And I have this with me. I constantly pray this myself, constantly. I'm going to repeat them. Some of you probably got them almost memorized. This is what I ask you to do. I believe you've done it. I ask that God would open a door of utterance for us. And I was getting the two proof texts on that with Colossians 4:3, with all praying. Also for us, that God opened us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And he did open up some doors. He opened up some church doors and park doors. And then Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, finally, brethren, pray for us, the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. We may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. All men have not faith. And I think God did that, both those requests. We were in one pretty hostile area in Andhra Pradesh. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. We weren't in any danger anything, I don't think, but it was a pretty hostile area. Even Brother Gooda said that. So God opened up doors. He opened up the door, people's hearts, and I'll recount to you, he opened up some church doors too. And I also asked God to give us boldness, and I think God did that. In Ephesians 6:19, Paul said, and for me, praying for me, that others may be given to me, I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, there I may speak boldly as all to speak. And I'll tell you one occasion when God did that. There's some Australians there, they're not praying to Baptists, but I think they will be someday. Some of them will be anyway, not all of them. But they don't agree with us on everything. And we saw them up twice. We were together some, then we were apart some. And anyway, one time I was talking on Primitive Baptist Distinctives. That's one of my favorite topics in one of the seminars. And halfway through my message, the Australians walked in. I said, God, bless me enough to check it out. Let me just tell it like it is. And I did. In fact, I didn't think I did great. Tim said, he said, you did great. He said, you got to go back to Grace Chapel and preach that, which I probably will. But one sermon Timothy preached is one of the best sermons I've ever heard. He didn't think he had a lick of the snake. But I guarantee it's one of the best sermons I've ever heard. And he told me that I preached one of the best ones he ever heard, but I didn't think I did all that great. But I knew I didn't chicken out, though. I said, God, under my breath, don't let me chicken out now. Let me tell it like it is. And I said, let me have a figure 6:19. I believe God did that. We got good consciences. We did preach the truth everywhere we were, and we didn't hold anything back. But we did ask God to give us wisdom, because we didn't want to just be like a bull in a china shop. So the verses, on, as you know, that was, it's in James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, if any man among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he has received anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is all unstable of all of his ways. So I try to really pray hard, God, I don't want to be double-minded. Give me some wisdom. And then we also prayed for healing. All this was wonderful. I'll express this. I mentioned to you that Angus Fisher, the first Australian we'd ever met in India, that Herb met one time on a trip, and he and his wife were there. And he's had a pretty big part in Indian work. He's the one I went to visit when we went to Australia a few years ago. And I do hope he'll become a friend of Edward someday. He wants prayer right now. He's really going through a lot of turmoil, which I'm glad he is. But anyway, he and Gunnar had a falling out. They had some misunderstandings. And that's one reason we wanted to go, because we were grieved. We thought if there ever is going to be a church in Australia, this would be a hindrance. And the devil trying to throw a monkey wrench in the works. And we had a wonderful, wonderful reconciliation. So we prayed for healing. And the scripture we got on that was James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one to another, you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And they did confess to each other, and they apologized to each other, and we had a wonderful meeting. So the Lord answered that prayer. And the final prayer was, I hope God will keep on doing all this. It's not just while we're in India. I hope he'll do a great job all this and keep on doing it. I pray that God might give us the spirit of grace and supplications. And he did that. He did it. We did a lot of driving. And we did a lot right on the train. We had a lot of downtime, and I did a lot of praying. And we had a lot of time on the plane, because you could just sit there and waste time if you wanted to, or you could agonize with God. He blessed us just agonizing. And he said in Zechariah 12:10, I'll pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of gracious supplications. And Paul said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, talking about what he wanted to do, and the deacons had freed his hand to do that, like they're taking the great chapel. I prayed my hand to do this, and you better keep on trucking, boys. You're good dickens. Because then you'd pack and do what he ought to be doing. And Paul said, we would give ourselves. And you pray for me to do it even more. We would give ourselves continually to prayer, to ministry of the word. So God answered that. Now, let me give a little rundown, and I won't go over time. I don't have the whole thing done anyway. I'll probably take it up tonight where I leave off. But anyway, we left here on January the 14th, and we went to Chicago from Memphis, and then we went to Frankfurt and then to Madras. And that was pretty tough traveling in a way. I mean, just you're up so long, the main thing. There's a total, by the way, of 19,678 miles, air miles, according to what they told us with the travel agent did. We had a one way of 9,839 miles. So we went from here to Chicago, had a layover, then flew to Frankfurt, had a layover, then we flew to Madras, and we're good to meet us. And I make this, and I'm not bragging about any of this. I'm just stating, I'm hoping to set a good example. But I'm also hoping to just tell you what I'm doing. I think I'm accountable to you for the way I spend my time. On the entire trip, I set some goals, and I'm able to accomplish them. I'm glad I was. I worked hard at it, too, to not waste my time. I read two whole books. I read one book, The Peacemaker, which is a book on conflict resolution, written by a Christian. Andrew Huffman recommended it. It's a great book. And also, every man here that's a daddy that's got daughters, I want you to get this book. If you don't buy it, I'll buy it for you. And I want to talk to all the men in this church who got daughters, written by Dennis Rainey on Interviewing Your Daughter's Date. I mean, it's a fabulous book. Maybe you want to be a better daddy. Take care of my daughters better, because it's my responsibility to do that. And I'm going to do it. God'll help me. You got to be a man to do it. You got to step up and be a man. You can't be a wimp. But most of us men are kind of wimps. We got to just get some guts, some spiritual guts. To take care of our daughters. It's a great book. I also read the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of John, the whole Gospel. I spent a lot of time memorizing James, Ephesians, Timothy, Jude, and Psalm 19, so I wasn't wasting my time. And I'm not bragging about that a bit. I could have done better. I tried to spend my time right. I want to encourage you to do that. You know a great chapel every time I've been your pastor. I encourage you to do that. Y'all all know that. You kids in school know that. I'll try to get y'all to memorize stuff in school. And I want you to keep on trucking. But I felt had a good conscience. All right. Tuesday, we got there at night. We were met at the airport by Gunnar and Jones. Y'all remember Jones that came? These Indians are weird. They've all got oddball Indian names, oddball to me. And they all get kind of Americanized names sometimes for a second name. So I knew Jones is the guy that came here at Gunnar. And he got a brother named Prince. And they picked us up, and we went to the Hotel Mount Hero. So then we got a little rest there at Mount Hero, Jones and Prince. And they got real good jobs. They got better housing than a lot of us have got, though Jones and Prince do. Old Jones makes 80,000 rupees a month. That's $24,000 a year. That's big time money in India. Money goes a long way in India. He got a really nice house. They got a nice car. Anyway, Wendy, we met with Gunnar. We had a great conversation. And let me say this. When you're with the people sometimes, you get suspicious. And even Brother Gunnar, as good as he is, let me just tell you, Brother Hassel Wallace, I've told you this before, Brother Hassel Wallace was my father in the ministry, a man of great integrity. And I want you to think about this now, because this will happen in your life also. But sometime when I was away from him for a while, I just started having doubts about him. No reason. I just did. I know that must have been the devil. And so I'd go see him. Every time I went to see him, when I walked through the door and saw him, the doubts were gone. And so Gunnar, I had some doubts about him. I thought maybe he had building too many buildings. I didn't know. Maybe his ministry was kind of getting off track. I just didn't know what was happening. And we had a talk with Gunnar, and every doubt was settled. The building he was building, he should have explained it to us better. We did realize we need to start communicating better. But I saw some government regulations that certain way, if he didn't build these buildings a certain way, he could actually wind up in prison because he's taking care of orphans. And like, for instance, they can't have thatched huts anymore because they had a thatched hut that burned down. About 90 kids got burned up. So the government cracked down on that. So everything he's doing, he's not doing anything elaborately. Just to be elaborate, he didn't know what he got to do. So we just had a wonderful time. And I've always thought he was a great guy. He's kind of like a genius with a childlike heart, really. He's an administrative genius. He knows how to design buildings, and he knows how to administer things. And one thing I'm thankful for, that he is turning over a lot of his administrative abilities to other people, like Nelson, his assistant, and his wife, because he wants to free his hands to preach the gospel, plant churches, train ministers, translate stuff, obey this material into Tamil. He's a man of vision. And he got so wrapped up in all this other stuff, he couldn't do that. And you can see his health was going down. So I think that the Lord blessed him to get on a better track. He could do what God really called him to do. But I just said, we met with Gunnar, wonderful conversation. All our doubts were cleared up. We're convinced that Gunnar's on the right track. We talked about the need for more communication. This meeting exceeded our expectations. We're just filled with joy. See, when we first met Gunnar, he still got this letter to prove it. Because I didn't realize this. The Indians are under a lot of strain. And when Indians convert, a lot of times the other Indians, the Hindus, accuse them of becoming Christians to get money. And they're very sensitive to that. And so he kept this letter that Herb Hatfield wrote him before we ever went to India. And I'm glad Herb wrote it. I thought it was too hard for Herb wrote it, but glad he wrote it. And Gunnar kept it. And Herb said, Gunnar, if you become a Primitive Baptist, you can expect no money from us. And a lot of people that he was with cut their support off. So he came honestly to us because of the truth. Now, he received a lot of money from us. That's the truth. But he didn't think he would. He didn't know he would. And he got that letter. He's proud of that letter. He said, I've been becoming Primitive Baptist for money. And I can't Primitive Baptist because I can believe what they believe. I'm convicted of what they believe. And so so that's the kind of guy I knew. But in my suspicious mind, I thought, well, maybe he's changing. But he's not changing, thank God. So that was a great answer to prayer that God did have an open door. All right, then Thursday the 17th. We had an extremely good meeting with Gunnar. We three, that's Herb, Timothy, and myself, and the Australians, Angus Fisher and Gary Kerline, who I had met before in Australia, who's a fine man. And pray for Gary Kerline's wife, Natalia, because I hope that my wife, Gideon, and her can start an email friendship, because Gary wants her to. She's a homeschooler, and Australia don't have very many Christians, and the homeschooling is really weak there. And his wife wants some support, and so he asked me, would Judy write her, and I want to encourage, I'd like to see them get a good friendship. That might even be a way someday of maybe even evangelizing them. But I put this up, we had Fisher there. Of course, Gunnar's the one who had been at loggerheads with each other. And I just wrote, we had an extremely good meeting with Gunnar, we three, and the Australian Angus Fisher, Gary Kerline. The meeting exceeded our expectations, and Gunnar and Angus were reconciled, apologized to each other. Some of their differences had been caused by misunderstanding and gossip. There had been some gossip going on. It's a misunderstanding, and they apologized to each other. And we were just, and neither one of them thought the meeting was going to be successful. I found that letter. Angus was real down. Gunnar was down. They thought they could never reconcile. They had misconceptions. And when we prayed real hard, and we were there in the room, you see their hearts melt. Just feel melt. And just see the misunderstanding cleared up. And we're just rejoicing. We said then, hurt, I kind of like to go home right now. He said, he's getting homesick already. He said, our mission has been accomplished, let's go home. But there's more to come, more good to come. But that's how good it was. Then that night, the Australians, they went to go somewhere else. We got to the train station to take a 9-hour trip to Goody in Andhra Pradesh. That is up north of where we usually go. That's a 9-hour ride. And those old trains are not real good at all. We could, they call them sleepers, but I don't know why they call them, to be frank with you. They got a real narrow bitch you can lie down on and kind of curl up in a fetal position, and the thing is rocking and rolling. And I'm not going to talk about trying to go to the bathroom when those got bigger, but you got to do it. It's pretty rough, though. I'm not kidding. There's things like that, you know, you got to think about. Anyway, we had a nine-hour ride there. And we got off the train Friday morning, early in the morning. We met by Sake Prasad. And I love Sake Prasad. He's a man, let me tell you the story on him. There's a guy named David Naik, N-A-I-K, that came to Oguna one time at a seminar. He's up in Andhra Pradesh. This is how the Lord opens up doors. And so Gunna went up there to preach with him. This man proved to be a dishonest man. But when Gunna went to preach up there, he got Sake Prasad to be a translator because Gunna could speak Telugu. So it's kind of funny up there. He can't even speak their language, so he got to have a translator. So English is the thing. So anyway, with Sake Prasad interpreting or translating Gunna's sermons, he got convicted of the truth. And he became a Trinity Baptist. He's the one who got a daddy, Matthew, Sake Matthew, who had started a lot of churches. But when he became convinced of Trinity Baptist doctrine, he wanted to be rebaptized, reordained in the Church of Reconstruction. We did that last time we were there. And Sake Prasad went to a Baptist Bible college, but most of his graduates, his friends, had turned to Pentecostalism because they get more money. And they offered Sake Prasad a good job. He said, I'm not interested in money. I'm interested in truth. That's the kind of man of integrity he is. He's a great little guy. So anyway, though, he met us, you know, had a rented Jeep. So we drove about 90 kilometers to, I did say this, traffic was bad, and one time we had to come to a complete stop to avoid a head-on collision. And that's just, I don't do like I used to. They used to laugh at me all the time. I was always covering my eyes and saying, you know, Lord have mercy and all that. But I quit that after about 9 trips. I quit doing it, you know. But this time I did one time do it, because we had to stop, actually had to stop to keep maybe head-on. You can't imagine, see, bicycles, motorcycles, motorbikes, buses, trucks, so help me, ox carts, people walking on the same highway. It's amazing. It's incredible. And I don't know how it looks like everybody will be getting killed, but they're not. But a lot of people do. We saw a few wrecks. Anyway, we went to a hotel in Anantapur. That's up in Andhra Pradesh. At one point, smoke filled the stairway. We thought there was fire. I said, Tim, just an electrical fire. I know what electrical fire sounds like, smells like. You know what it was? The Hindus were burning incense to their gods. Had the whole place full of smoke. And I said this. That night, we ate out of our mess kit. We had one of these little Boy Scout mess kits. We got it $5 thing. We got it Walmart, but both of those things are worth their gold that night. So we ate some oats and coffee and stuff. We ate some hot water. We wrecked it a while. We drove to the village of Badedu. That's a little village outside town. And I mentioned that on the way out there, we saw flocks of sheep and goats across the road we drove along. Just amazing. People driving goats and cows and sheep, and so you got to stop for them and stuff like that. It's amazing. Just a different world, really, out in the rural part. But they got a new church building there. Last year, they didn't have one, and it was built by Kaiva Primitive Baptist Church. Some of the Australians, but even, I'm thankful for that, the Australian money, and also Kaiwa gave a lot of money. But, thank God, I didn't realize that the poor saints of Tamil Nadu made a great big contribution out of their poverty. They ain't got anything. I mean, nothing. But what they didn't have, they still gave. Reminds me of what the Bible says. I just couldn't believe that. Oh, goodness, told me about that, it just blew my mind. He said, I just told the saints of Tamil Nadu, said, these people are poorer than we are. And he told me about some people, what they gave. It just blew my mind. So they say they're giving. They start giving themselves. It's not like they're trying to live off of us. Even though anything they get from us, they appreciate it. But that really moved me. All right. That night, I preached on being strangers and pilgrims in this world. Of course, I enjoyed that, obviously. That's a good sermon for people like that. It's good for us, too, because we're strangers, too, you know. We got more money. But when you don't have anything, I guess you do feel like a stranger. And then Timothy preached on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And Herb didn't come that night. He was so tired. Then we drove back to the hotel on Anantapur. All right, Saturday morning, we got in the Jeep. We drove 90 kilometers to Kanakal. That's where we're going to have a seminar. And that's where we had been before. That's where this Sake Matthew had a church there, a pretty good-sized church. So we have a one-day seminar to the preacher. I talked on total depravity. I emphasize that dead means dead, because a lot of people that say they live in total depravity don't really believe in it. They still believe man can do something, don't they? Mac, you've been there. I know you've been there. They say, well, we believe man is dead, but however, you can accept Christ. Well, how you accept Christ? You're dead. So I really hammered down on the fact that dead means dead, and they liked that a lot. I said, dead is dead, and dead men can't do anything, nothing. They can't receive Christ, can't do anything. You've got to be born again before you can receive Jesus Christ. You've got to be born again before you can get converted to the gospel. And I really hammered down on that. And then Herb talked from 1 Peter. Timothy spoke on Christ being our high priest. Then we took a break for lunch. And they had an active session. I spoke on regeneration and conversion. I talked about regeneration of the Holy Spirit, conversion by the gospel. Her spoke on the office of an elder from 1 Peter chapter 5. Because someone had been confused about that. He had kind of a Presbyterian idea of church government. And he did a good job on that. So that's what we did. And Timothy didn't speak that at that time, I don't think. All right, then it's time to sleep. So we slept in the church building like we did last time. I said we put on mosquito repellent and settled down for the night on cots in the church building. This is kind of an adventure time. I got to talk to Dr. Judy a little bit. My wife is a pioneer. And she won't get mad at me saying this. And she doesn't want to have it too easy when we go over there. And when she knows we got rough a little bit, she likes that. So she'd always like it when I go to Conocal. But we got rough a little bit up there. She called it rough. We had a cot. We had to put mosquito repellent on. And then we had these little wicks that burn all night long to keep mosquitoes off. And we got cold. And the Hindus beat drums all night. They got some kind of festival. They had a bunch of Hindus down the road beating on drums and hollering all night long. So we didn't sleep too good that night because we were cold, mosquitoes, and the Hindus. And the next morning, in fact, the Hindus came. They had a procession. They had carried some big old idols and stuff like that marked by the church building. But we weren't in danger or anything like that, but it was kind of annoying. But it's amazing of the idolatry. And in there, too, taking a bath, I'm glad a Bass Pro Shop. There's some stuff you can get there. If you ever need to do this now, remember this. There's stuff you can get, two capfuls, put in some water, get your rag, wash yourself, don't even have to dry, and you smell good and you feel good. It's body cleanser. We use that at Conocal. So we did that at that time. Then we had to get dressed for church because they had church this Sunday morning now after we had that Saturday night there. And that's where Sake Matthew is the pastor there. I preached on having the doctrine of grace in our lives as well as in our heads. That, you know, not just having a head knowledge of the Bible, but being thankful for God's electing grace and his redemptive work and realizing our depravity and all that. And that's what I preached about. Timothy preached on having righteous desires from John 15:7. And Herb preached on suffering for Christ from 1 Peter. And then Gunnar gave a word of encouragement. We had a real good time there. They love Gunnar a whole lot. In fact, they want him to come back up there and teach them some more. They're pretty solid, but they want you to get more solid. And it's kind of amazing up there, like I say, Gunnar had to speak to an interpreter because they speak Telugu. He speaks Tamil, so he has to speak English, and then the Sake Prasad translates into Telugu. I will say something about Telugu. I don't know anything about either languages, but it sounds so good when they sing. It's got more. The Tamil is okay. They do a lot of chanting and stuff in their songs. But up there, it's just something sweet about it. I don't know if anything about these. It's a melodious sound to it. Just really, really, really sweet sound they sing up there, that Telugu. Then we drove back to Anantapur. We stopped on the way for a picnic. Now, here's my idea of a picnic. Now, this may not sound good to you, but I'm telling you, when you're in India, it's great stuff. We ate tuna, sardines, Vienna sausages, peanut butter, potato chips, and that was a feast. And I think we had ours drink. Now, we thought we were back in America almost. It was great, man. I'm glad Herb brought that Vienna sausages. I hadn't eaten any of those in a year, but they were really good. Then we checked into a hotel, stayed, we prayed for the services back home. See, y'all were having services here. We're 11 and a half hours ahead of y'all. So that was, y'all picked to have services that night. That was morning for y'all. So we had a prayer time for the people here in Memphis. All right, Monday morning, the 20th, we got up early, had about an hour and a half drive to Goody where we had to board a crowded train for an 11-hour journey down to Salem, which is the big city close to where Gunn lives. And that was not too bad a ride. At first, I thought it was going to be bad, but it turned out better than I thought it would. They had these bunks that let them, and so the way they sold the tickets, Timothy and I went up, sitting kind of bent over like that. And I said, oh, this is going to be awful for 11 and a half hours. But thank God they finally got the cot up, and we can sit up like, you know, just regular. So anyways, that was about an 11-hour train ride to Salem. We got to Salem about 9 p.m., we were met by Judson and Nelson and Boopity. That's one of our old buddies. And we had about a 30-minute drive to Chetty Patty. That's where Gunna lives. And our rooms there are very comfortable. In fact, we were just full there. They had ceiling fans. Gunna got a nice place for us to stay. So there was Monday. It was so good to see everybody again. Like seeing old friends there. They are old friends by now. Then Tuesday, we had a good breakfast. I said good facilities to clean up in. We had time to study and prepare for the day. And I'm amazed at modern technology. There's some stuff I really needed, some study materials I needed. So we called Keeper, or I guess I called Gene, got her call Keeper. And bless his heart, he emailed us some documents that we could download and print those things out and have some teaching material. And that just thrilled me. I said, Lord, I'm glad some people may use this modern technology wrong, but you can sure use it right, too. So those documents that he did send to us, we needed them pretty bad. We left some stuff at home we really intend to take, and we're glad to get that. We use that some in our seminar. All right, then we had a three-day seminar at Chatty Patty. So I'll mention that. Timothy went first, and he spoke on the personal work of the Holy Spirit. He did a lot of that. He was really in John 6, 14, 15, 16 most of the time he taught, and I thought the Lord really blessed him. Then I talked on the identity of the New Testament church. And Brother Gunnar, when I got through, he was really, he likes that subject a lot. So he was very enthused about that. And he got up and kind of emphasized it to me for quite a while what I had said. He was emphasizing it. He thinks it's a vital subject. It is a vital subject. He told me one time, he said, Brother Zach, he said, the two things we got to have is the doctrine of the church and the doctrine of salvation by grace. They'll go together because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If you don't have the ecclesiology, then you'll lose the soteriology because you won't have a church to perpetuate it. That happens lots of times with sovereign grace people. They don't really cross their T's and dot their I's. They may be sovereign grace for a generation, then they're gone. That must happen lots of different places. So Gunnar knows about that. So he really was interested. And Peter, Herb gave some highlights from 2 Peter. He was on 1 and 2 Peter all week, and I thought did a wonderful job. Then I mentioned we Americans, we ate lunch on Gunnar's patio. He got a little patio, just really nice to eat outside because it's so hot over there. And we had a Sister Mary, she kind of knows how to cook for us now. I think this is the only time I've been in here I didn't get sick. I didn't get sick one time. I'm kind of sorry in a way because I'm getting a little bit fat. I thought I'd lose a little bit. But I might be on a diet because I didn't lose anything this time. But I was watching what I ate. Then after we just had three messages on these, because these people have to get back to homes and where they're staying, and it's kind of hard for them to do that. So we realized that before, by let them out too late, we're working a hardship on them. So Gunnar said, you got to take all the time you want. Just take a long time, but just one message apiece, and let the people go home. So we did that. We were through an early afternoon. So we went down to Southern to do some shopping. Now, Wednesday morning, Timothy spoke on the Holy Spirit as a teacher from John 14. Herb continued to bring highlights from 2 Peter. I spoke on practical matters concerning the character and behavior of preachers. I mentioned their home life, relationship with their wives and children, and all that. And I'm emphasized to them because the Indians have kind of a harsh culture, really, in a way. Christianity has always brought liberation to women. That's why women liberate their food, because they don't realize that they bite the hand that fed them. So Islamic people don't know how to treat their women. Nobody else does. But Christians do. They're real Christians. And the Indian culture is a little bit harsh on women. But I told them culture had nothing to do with it. The Bible is for all cultures. And they agree with that. And of course, the ladies like me over a lot because I preach on stuff like this. Little sisters do. I already hammer down on it. I had a joke one time there. This lady named Grace is kind of an old buddy of mine now. She's married to Sunder Singh. And I mentioned that even the husband ought to cook breakfast for his wife every now and then. I said, I do it for Judy every now and then. And so I go there one time. And so at the end of the seminar, this has been a few years ago, Grace raised her hand, and she said the most important point made in the seminar was that Brother Zach cooked breakfast for his wife. And she told Sunder Singh, she said, that old man, she called me an old man, that old man can cook breakfast for his wife every now and then. You can do it for me every morning, Sunder Singh. And I had a beard, and so I shaved my beard. And the next time I went over, she said, you may have shaved that beard, but you're still an old man. So we have a lot of fun with them. I wish the language barrier is what I hate. I hate the language barrier. We have to do all this to translate most of the time. They have to speak a little English. Some of them speak good English, but most of them don't speak much. But I did, because it's so important. As you well know, the preacher try to have a good home life, be a good husband, a good father, and just essential. And I try to re-hammer that down. After lunch then, we drove to Vepamar Tour. That's the old favorite place to go out in the country where they have an orphanage. On the way there, we stopped at the Topar River, where I baptized Gunnar back in the year 2000. Boys, a sacred place. And just like the first time, man, when we stopped there and looked at that place we're going to baptize, we just started singing how great they are to the Indian countryside like we did when we were baptized. This time is beautiful because the river was so dry there was nothing in the bed. This time it overflowed the banks and it's beautiful, water everywhere. And they just thank God for the rain because they'd had a drought for 2 or 3 years. And even the place where I had baptized them, we couldn't even baptize there. This time we had to do it because the water was there, but that was a sacred time. And then we went down to the orphanage. Look over the grounds, and Gunnar made so many improvements since the first time we were there. He planted little bitty palm trees, and they were about like that, and little bitty seedlings, and now they're grown and get a lot of shade. And they began to grow rice, and they had just got through harvesting rice. The kids had done all this work at the orphans. He'd keep them busy. and they harvested 30 bags of rice, which will really reduce their, they give the kids something to do, plus the fact, reduces the food they got to buy. So we had a great time there. And we met the orphans, gave them some presents. Each one of them brought them a brief message. And they're growing up, you know, you can, kids, obviously, our kids grew up too, and they grow up. And Timothy's good about knowing who people are. I'm not too good about that. But Timothy really observes the children a lot. He knows who they are, a lot of their names, and he just can't say, Dad, look how so-and-so have grown. And one little girl that we have been sponsoring for a long time, Pushpa, she's just so beautiful. She's a 14-year-old girl. And I had a good talk with her. She called me Daddy. Called Timothy her uncle. And that means a lot to them, to have somebody to connect with, even though I don't see her hardly at all. But in fact, she gave me a little plaque. And I talked to her because her mother's dying of AIDS, and her daddy's already dead. And I just talked to her about how God would take care of her and all that. She listened. So, you know, you never can tell what kind of impact you're going to have on somebody. And you people who are able to support them at orphans, you may never even made them in this world, but maybe you'll be in the world to come, and you're doing great work. So it just they're doing a good job over there. Okay, then we went on back to Chatty Patty. Then Thursday, we had the last day of the seminar. And Timothy spoke on the significance of Pentecost. And I just made this note at the sermon. That's the one I told you about. And this is one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard. And that's the truth. I was just about to shout. And Gunnar must have felt the same way. Because when Timothy got food, he really got animated. And he got up there and said something about 10-50 minutes to meal. Timothy got food. I mean, he was really excited. Those Indians were excited. See, one thing about this preacher over there with an interpreter. It's really interesting. You're looking at their faces. I can't convey to you what I wish I could convey to you because they're not here. But here I am now sitting back. We're sitting back here. And this somebody preaching. We're sitting back here. And we're watching the Indians. So I hear the Americans. And my heart's touched. And about 3 seconds later, I see the Indians get touched. Because they hear it in Tamil. We look at each other. We smile. And we're sharing with each other. I wish we could share. You know, totally like I do with you. That's what makes church so sweet. We share with each other. You know, I love to watch your faces when we have the song church while I sit up here like this. And that's why I like to just be with people when we're preaching and just interact with each other. And I know, I say, well, I know other people enjoy when I'm enjoying. And we can do that a little bit over there, but it's kind of delayed action. But you can be surprised at how much they rejoice the doctrine of grace and how they nod their head vigorously when they make a point. It's just really rewarding. All right. Then Herb spoke on 2 Peter chapter 3. And then he took a break and spoke some more from 2 Thessalonians. His primary focus was on the interpretation of prophecy. Gunnar really wanted him to talk about that. And Herb did really good on that. So he did a great job. He did 2 sessions. Then I spoke on Primitive Baptist distinctives. And I'll just mention a few of the things I talked about. I talked on how we base our doctrine and our practices exclusively on the Bible. We are not a creedal people. Even we have a creed, the London Confession of Faith, but it's not a creedal the same way the Reformed people have creeds. In fact, Reformed people even quote their creed to much they quote their scriptures. I've been taking a Reformed paper for 30 years, and I love those people, the standard bearer, the proper Reformed people, but the creedal is different. Baptist and creedal people are different. They put as much emphasis on their creed as they do on the Bible, sometimes even more, maybe unconsciously. Andrew Huffman wrote a great article on either being too uncreedal or too creedal. Being too uncreedal, if that's not a very good word, is, you know what I'm saying, is you don't even care what our forefathers believe. That's wrong. We ought to thank God for what our forefathers believe, and we ought to adhere to that as much as we can if they follow the Bible. But then you can get locked into a creed too much, and so there's a balance there. And so I talked about that some. I mentioned such things as congregational church government, why we don't use instrumental music, why we don't have seminary. We're not against Bible training, but there's a lot of seminary in the Scriptures. And we pray to bad to make a big deal, try to make a big deal, out of doing what's biblical and not doing what's not biblical. We believe in an apprenticeship. You know, we got some able young ministers, even have come out of Grace Chapel. They come out here by the apprenticeship method. In fact, Gunnar has got a master's degree in theology. He's amazed that he probably overrates us, but he's always bragging on the American ministry. He says, I'm amazed how able the Trinity Baptist preachers are. And I don't feel like I'm one of those, but still, I'm glad that we can have that kind of reputation from a man that's got that kind of education. He said, and so what he's doing, they're trying to get everybody the apprenticeship method, and they're doing a good job. They're doing a real good job. In fact, in some of the ordinations we've been in over there, we've asked them a lot of questions and amazed at how well they're able to answer those questions. We don't have mission boards. But see, we don't need mission boards. And I can make a point this time, and I'm glad I can do that. I say, see, Here we have guys in Africa, and guys got in India, and guys in the Philippines, and in Cambodia, and Thailand, and we have no mission boards. It's the Holy Spirit directing it. That's giving me great joy to say that. We don't need mission boards. The local church is the one who cooperates with the preachers. They go out as they're led by the Holy Spirit. That's the biblical way. It's the way it was in the New Testament. And that's why we want to do it. So I thank God about that. Now, I also talked to some of our doctrinal distinctives, and I really was serious. Glenn was really, really moved by all this, this last talk I made. I talked about how that we believe, we consistently, now let me listen to me very carefully. We have a consistent belief. We get that word consistent. Now, I may preach a little bit now. I probably won't take too much time. I probably won't preach, but I kind of want to. Listen. Now, I want you to listen to me. You listen to me? We have a consistent belief in particular redemption. Consistent. Because many people claim to believe in particular redemption, but not consistent. That's why the Trinity Baptists are separate from some other Baptist families. Because a man named Andrew Fuller, who many people call him a great Calvinist, but brethren, here is a false, and he's a good man and had a lot of proof. He believed the doctrine of election. He had not consistent in his doctrine of particular redemption, and we are. Now that we're called hyper-Calvinists, we're not hyper-Calvinists. We believe in preaching the gospel to everybody. But we're, so anyway, I'm going to talk about that great chapel a lot pretty soon, if the Lord bless me. It's very important. We are consistent believers in particular redemption. What do I mean by that? Christ died for the elect and nobody else. He did not intend to save anybody else. If he did, he would have done it. Don't ever, my friend, he does not have two conflicting wills. I even point out, I'm not demonizing men who are not us, but I still want to put the error out. And there are two good men I mentioned over in India, John MacArthur and John Piper, who are modern day Fullerites. They're good men. I don't demonize them. They're doing a lot of good, but they're inconsistent in the doctrine of particular redemption. I can prove it. I got their writings. For instance, MacArthur says God has two, Piper says God has two conflicting wills. He actually said that. One will is he wills to save the elect. The other will is he desires to save the whole human race. Brethren, that's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's double talk. Christ does not desire to save the entire human world. If he did, he'd do it. He'd do it. So I hope you'll always maintain a consistent belief in God's successful salvation, that is, his particular redemption. And I emphasize that. And he is like that, because it's the truth. I also talk of the errors of the well-meant free offer of the gospel. Now, we believe in preaching the gospel to everybody. Some people may not have believed that, but we don't believe. We believe in preaching the gospel to everybody, but the gospel is a proclamation, if not an offer. It's not an offer. The word offer in the old Latin meant, it meant a proclamation. We proclaim. But anyway, that's another sermon. Who's the gospel to, really? We preach it to everybody. We call it all men to repent. But here's what Christ said. He said, I came not to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. Remember that? Matthew 9, I think it is. He said, the whole need not a physician. They that are sick. So here's the invitation. Here's gospel invitations. Listen to these gospel. I'll give you three gospel invitations. One of them is in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you self-sufficient people who are depending on your works for salvation. Now, you know that's not sound. It's not biblical. Right? My friend, here's what he says. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Right? That's his invitation. Why are they laboring and heavy laden? Because they've been born again by God's Spirit, and they mourn because of their sins, and they hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they have no righteousness of their own. Like one of our brothers prayed a while ago, like Dan, I think it was, Lord, all I can bring to you is our filthy rags. Because Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are filthy rags. So that's who the gospel's to. Other people only want the gospel. Another is Isaiah 55. When he says, lo, come to me, you... Well, let me just read that to you. I can't quote that and write like I can Matthew 11. And this is a... Y'all pray for me about this. Now, I want to do some teaching on this. I want you to do some study on this, too. But here's the one that the gospel's to, that the invitation's to. Hold everyone that thirsteth. Now, if you're thirsty, you've got to have life. Hold everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money... Come ye buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. And then finally in Revelation 22:17, one of the most misunderstood passages of the Bible, Revelation 22:17, here it is. Let's look at this. And you've got a part to play in this. Revelation 22:17. Now listen. Listen. And his Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's God's church. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him hear us say, come. That's you, the individual Christian. Now listen to this. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that hears say, come. Let him that is a... Him who now? Him that is the first come. And whosoever will, and who gave him the will? Let's talk about that a minute. Who got the will? Okay, I'll tell you two scriptures. One in Philippians chapter 2. He works in us both the will and to do of His good pleasure. In Psalm 110 verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, the Holy Spirit power. So I preach that because the truth. Anyway, I had a good time with that. That's when I was hoping that God would bless me and have some guts because all three of you walked in. That's the end of the three-day seminar, and Gunnar expressed his profound gratitude for our ministry in India. Y'all save me a few more minutes now. I'll be through in a few minutes. I'm not through my Indian trip. I'll have to do a little bit more typing, maybe even this afternoon. We had a baptizing then. That was a great blessing. We had lunch at a baptizing. And I got the they let me do the baptizing this time. We had two baptizing, one of them later on that Gunnar did in the Bay of Bengal up in Kudalore. But I baptized three individuals. One of them was a guy named Santa Kumar. This was a rebaptism. Santa Kumar was a preacher. A very godly man who became convinced of the truth of what we preached, and he desired rebaptism and to become identified. Then I got to baptize, I never have done this before, as a little short crippled man. And I was in this tank, this concrete tank, and they had to hand me this little fella. I had felt sorry for him before, hitting the seminar, and so I'd slipped a little money in his pocket. I didn't know if he was going to get baptized. But anyway, this little fella, his legs sitting there were all just drawn up, no hardly any legs. Real smile on his face. They say real intelligent, say he's a school teacher. But they just handed him to me. I just picked him up like that. They baptized the little fella, put him up. Then I baptized his wife. She was a slim, good-looking woman, married to this little old fella. And he took the name Amos, and she took the name Elizabeth. They always take a name, a Christian name, when they get baptized. In fact, one guy baptized Charles Ferdinand one day over there. I think it hurts that I'm baptized Charles Ferdinand. They always want to take a Christian name of some kind out of the Bible or somewhere when they get baptized. I don't know if it's legal or not. Now, I'm fixing to quit, but I want to read you something. This is the highlight of the whole trip. And then I've got some other stuff I'll share later with you. But this is, now I said this. Then occurred what was probably the greatest blessing of the entire trip. There were the three of us and about 16 Indian preachers who met. Now, I've just had to share how I wrote my journal. Anyone can miss this. I just got through changing my clothes, and I was almost late. But I didn't realize they were meeting right outside of our room. The preachers were going to have a final meeting after the seminar was over with. So that's where this comes in. So just bear with me now. I wish I'd get the motion out. Now, all three of them are watching this. I'm glad they're watching this because I think they're impressed by it. There's the three of us Americans, and they have 16 Indian preachers. There's Jerry Caroline and Angus Fisher, the Australians. I'll just write what I wrote. I'll try to briefly describe the meeting. It will be impossible to fully describe it. The Indian men rose one by one, told how much they loved being Friendly Baptist. The money to help support them from the U.S. had been reduced and does not go as far as it used to because of the weakness of the U.S. dollar. We found that out the hard way. You know, we're pretty bad shape for our country, and I guess y'all know that. I want to preach pretty soon on our attitude towards civil government because our elections are coming up and all that. We're all concerned about that and should be. But used to, the exchange rate for a dollar to rupee is about 44 or 45 for $1. Now it's down to 38 or 39, which makes a pretty big difference. So really, even when you send money to Gunner for the orphans, like that $25 doesn't go as far as it used to. A lot of implications there. But anyway, the money that had been sent to FD preachers had been reduced a lot. So he asked them how they felt about that. And these little guys just got up one by one in just their little simple way, nobody putting on a big show, real quiet. We were watching them there, watching their faces. And I just wish I could describe the scene. They said it made no difference to them. They're not in it for the money. They were in it for the truth. We then found out that many of them were, well, the poor Indian PBs churches are, out of their poverty giving support to these Indian PBs. They're even poorer than they are. They all reaffirmed their love for Brother Gunnar and told how much they respect him. Gunnar gave a complete accounting, and I'm glad he did this because maybe they didn't even understand some things. You know, we had a few questions, like I said, about building buildings and stuff like that. we're totally reassured. But anyway, he gave them a full account of all the money that had come in, of all the buildings that had been built. They very warmly expressed their love for the truth and for their American brethren. We felt such a closeness with these fellow ministers of the gospel. The only thing that stuck in our, the only things in our way were just the language barrier. But I wish I could describe it. I don't know. These guys, you know, they live in a Hindu culture. They're much more evangelistic than we are. And I don't know. Maybe it's easy to evangelize. I don't know. It's a Hindu culture, but the people are poor. I don't know. You know, it's hard to get anybody lifted over here about the gospel. We're so affluent, so self-satisfied. But these guys go out to these Hindu villages. They preach. They think it's their responsibility, like it really is, to share the gospel with everybody they can. And they're not strong-armed people about it. They just do it. That's just the way of life with them. I just love these guys. Most of them are little guys, these Tamil guys. But they're brilliant people. Some of them are multilingual. And some of them are just well-educated. I don't always love them. And they treat us like kings. So it's embarrassing, really. You can't hardly carry a suitcase. They're going to grab your suitcase. Think bigger they are, they'll carry it. Go across the street, they grab your arm so you don't get run over. They treat us like we're some kind of a god or something like that. Come here, love what we teach. They love what we brought over there. And you're a part of that, folks. Herb and I both said that in all our 9 years to India, our 9 trip to India, the preacher meeting may be the best meeting we've ever been in India. What thrilled us is their honesty and love for the truth. Several of them, and I mentioned this earlier, including Sakhi Prasad, have been offered jobs with other religious denominations, which would pay them big money. They have refused to compromise the truth. So anyway, that's as far as I got in my journal, but that was kind of the highlight, even though there's some more good stuff yet to come. I will say something about Brother Gunnar. He's had some temptation. I'm glad he's been able to resist. He's got a brother named Joseph who tied in with some Pentecostals from Germany, and they gave him a lot of money. And he got kind of a hospital complex. And he used to really not like Gunnar when Gunnar became a PB. He thought he'd joined some kind of a cult, but Gunnar's earned his respect all these 9 years. He watched him. And so Joseph is getting so bogged down with administration, he tried to turn the whole thing over to Brother Gunnar. And Brother Gunnar prayed, but said, I can't do it. He said, I can't do it. So that it would deter me from what I'm supposed to be doing. He had a lot more prestige, a lot more buildings. He said, I cannot do that. And so I'm glad that he's able to do that. Let me say something funny about Gunnar, then I'll quit. Back before he met us, the charismatic really tried to get him, because he is a real educated fellow for India. And so they took him to London to teach him how to speak in tongues. And of course, it just didn't take, because Gunnar just, he said, I'd open to it. I didn't think the Bible taught it, but I thought, well, maybe it's something I don't know, but he just never did work. So they started holy laughter stuff. And so Gunnar said that what happened was, I got so tickled with those guys acting so funny, I started laughing. They said, hallelujah, he got the Holy Ghost. He had to explain to them, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm just laughing at y'all because y'all act so crazy. But he really ought to, because he could have got a lot of money if he had stuck with the Pentecostals. They got other folks just exactly like Oral Roberts, so help me, they had like Kenneth Hagin. They got a guy named Paul Donegan. Listen, you know what Donegan's doing? He sent out golden keys. If you send enough money, Bruce, he'll send you a golden key, and it'll unlock all your troubles, and finally he'll get you into heaven. And if you send 10,000 rupees, if you got a kid that's fixed to go to college, you'll get a folder and pray for that kid. You send him a picture, and that kid will make good grades, stuff like that. Just a bunch of fraud, just like they got in the United States. A lot of Indians are taken in by that, people in poverty. So Bug gonna sound on that. I appreciate your attention. I know I've been a little stumbling, but I hope I've shared with you, and I want you to know that I thank God for you and your cooperation, and I believe God's pleased with your support of this work. And may God, I don't know what God got in the future. I just don't know. But I never thought he'd get this far. I really didn't. I really thought that India was so Hindu culture there, it wouldn't be like the Philippines, which they had a pretty good spread of the gospel. I thought, well, you know, we have 2 or 3 churches, Tenapati, Bipamartur, and Chetabat would be about it. And here, Gunnar's prayer was, when I first went to him, he said, I pray this gospel will go to the entire subcontinent. And maybe it will. But every time you turn in or somebody else wants to make an inquiry, it's just almost like the Book of Acts. When we're in Cuddalore, which I'll talk about that later, on the coast, had some preachers weren't PBs. They said, you know, we like what we're hearing, man. Will you come preach for us? And he said, well, when I get time, I will. And so it's amazing how God opened the doors. Anybody want to ask any questions or anything before we have a handshake? I'll try to get a journal out. And I'll have this abbreviated report if anybody wants it. And I'll have a little bit more complete report later on. I hope I get it done pretty quick. I love you so much, and thank you for your support of the gospel, your love of the truth.